Valley Fellowship Church is a Spirit-empowered community of faith in Huntsville, Alabama. We pray that this recording helps you to connect with God and with other people. More resources are available at valleyfellowship.com.
Truck I built with my own two hands from the ground up, and it's taken me 3 years to do it. I said, how much is it worth? $175,000. I said, what are you talking about? Is it made of gold? He opened up the engine and he touched it and he would rub the engine. And then he would take deep breaths like this and then close the hood and touch the hood like this and then run his hand on the side of it like that. And then he opened the door very, very softly. He said, take it easy when you come in. Take it easy, take it easy. Don't open the door too hard. Touch the roof. And I was beginning to feel awkward. I was beginning to feel like I'm invading something here that is very personal and intimate, and I should not be involved in this. This is something wrong. Then he got in the car, and I got in the car, and I just kind of jumped in the car and slammed the door. He goes, oh, not so hard. I go, all right. And he puts his hands on the steering wheel, and this is what got me. He just rubbed those steering wheel like that, and his face contorted. And there was a transfer of affection and other things going on. And I said, I'm getting out of this car. This is freaky. You're freaky. You're freaking me out right now. He says, oh, I'm sorry. I just love this truck. I love weeping. I love this truck. You don't know what I've been through to build this truck. You don't know the dream that's fulfilled. You have no idea how long it took. I said, well, what about Jesus? I wish you loved Jesus like that. He goes, oh. And he went into deep depression. Now, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, how do you know you love something? One. You cannot stop talking about something you truly love. How do you know you love Jesus? Because you tell strangers about him all the time. How do you know you don't love Jesus? You never talk to anybody about him except the people in your church, and sometimes not even there. The truth is, you may love the idea of God, but you don't love Jesus like you love your grandchildren. I have pictures of all my grandchildren right here on my phone. As soon as that phone comes out, one of my grandchildren pops up. I'll kiss the phone. When I get home, I go visit all my grandchildren that are around. I bring them to the house. I demand that they stay at the house with me. I tell my own children, they're spending the night. And they will respond one of two ways. No! Yes, no, yes, they have to do school. Skip it. And I will get down with my little grandson, Zaya, and this is a daily thing. And I will play trucks with him for 2 or 3 hours on the floor as a grown man, playing trucks with my little grandson. Throwing the truck back, he's got a big old giant truck. We throw it across the floor. Back there, right there. He comes on, he runs on, he dives at me, and he laughs. And it's just like heaven. Because when you love something, think about what I'm saying. If you love Jesus, you would be telling people about him. You don't love Jesus enough to tell anybody about him. You just love the religious enough Jesus here in church. But when you go out there, nobody knows that some of you are even Christians because your love for God is not strong enough for you to ever share that with anyone. But you will tell them about your golf club or your gun, or you will tell them about your car or your truck, or you will tell them about your grandchildren or your children, or you will tell them about your job, or you will tell them about whatever it is you love. Because this is a sign that you love something is you can't stop talking about it. The way you know you love your wife is you can't stop talking about her. The way you know you love your husband is you can't stop talking about him. And if all you can talk is negative about your wife or husband, then you know for sure you don't love them anymore. You love the idea of having a husband, and you love the idea and memory of once loving them. what's going to make life work for you and this Bible come to life and all the promises be real and all the things God has worked on is you got to love Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hug somebody and say, holla, holla. I wish I had gone to another church today. Praise God. I was happy before I came in here. Now I'm not sure I'm saved. How do you know? Two, you want everybody to meet them. That's how you know. You want everybody to meet them. I sit with people all the time and they pull their phones out. Here are my grandchildren. Then I pull my phone out. Here are my grandchildren. And you just have a grandchild fest and feast. Praise the Lord. But hardly will anybody do that with Jesus anymore, especially to strangers. But it's how you get people out of hell into heaven, is by loving Jesus so much that your love for Jesus is so genuine, authentic, and compelling that people have to say, whatever it is you have, I want it. Where do I go to get it? Because I don't love God like that. I don't ever talk about him. As a matter of fact, I don't even pray over my food anymore because it's a little embarrassing. Because how do you know you love something? You're not ashamed of it. That's how you know. You're not ashamed of the things you love. You're only ashamed of the things that you are not in love with. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm not saying this to make any of you feel bad or to make you feel condemned, because understand that God does not condemn. He does not condone. He regenerates. Through illuminating truth, he wakes us up. And it convicts us. Conviction is not condemnation. Conviction is a father's love telling you if you don't change this, something bad is coming in the future. Because the only thing that's going to save your marriage is for the both of you to love Jesus enough to never get divorced and to work out whatever problems you've got. The only thing that is going to save your marriage is for you not to have an affair with that woman at work who is a lot nicer and sweeter and more understanding than your wife today. And not as heavy. Or with that man who smells good, who wears new clothes every day and talks by looking at you in your eyes and touches you softly and feels empathy for you, all the things you're longing for as a woman from the bum that you're married to. He doesn't love you anymore. She doesn't love you anymore. But that doesn't mean you're supposed to get divorced. It's just supposed to mean you need to go back to Jesus. You need to come back to Jesus. And if he hasn't touched you in 10, 20, or 30 years, well, I can guarantee you he's got serious resentments against you that as a Christian, he knows he's forbidden to even tell you about. And if he does tell you, then he does it in a very painful way. Or if she tells you. She literally demasculinizes you and literally turns you into a wimp of a man. So what's the answer? Coming back to Jesus. Loving Jesus. Is the answer being proud and haughty and getting offended at the visiting preacher? I'm offended at you, Brother Ivan, because you said I didn't love Jesus. I don't know who you are. I'm not telling you anything. Hey, I'm a lawyer presenting information. You're the jury. You decide if I'm crazy. Or do the facts support the verdict? Holla, holla. Look at somebody and say, I'm glad he's talking to you and not to me. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and tell him. Say, I'm so happy that he's talking to you and not to me, because I can't relate to a thing he's saying. This is weird. I'm so nervous right now and sweating in my seat to the reality that I might not love Jesus. Oh, my gosh. Hey, the Bible leads us to the truth, and the truth sets us free. You can't honor your ego more than your love for God. It's just your ego that doesn't want to receive it, and your pride. That's all. And you got to reject it. You got to be honest with Jesus all the time and say, God, I'm sorry. I didn't mean not to love you, but I don't even know how to love you exactly. We'll learn tonight. Because after all, he is invisible. There's no blame. There's no accusation. There's no judgment. There's no anger. There's no rejection. God is not pushing you aside. God is not saying you're bad. You're the children of God. You're his children. He loves you even more than you love your own children and grandchildren. He's never turning you aside or finding fault with you, any of those kind of things. He's saying, no, listen, there's a deficiency in your life. You know there is. There's deep loneliness there, heartaches and pains that shouldn't be there, because Jesus is our all in all. He's the center of our joy, and he should be enough. And if he's not enough, then we need to make the adjustments. It's not a matter of anything else. You shouldn't be taking Prozac to make it through a week of depression and empty soul and all that. You know, your husband is not supposed to make you complete. What? I saw it in a movie. No, Jesus makes you complete. Not an imperfect husband and not an imperfect wife. And as soon as you make your husband your Jesus, you have killed him. Because he will fail you every day of his life as an imperfect man. And as soon as you make your wife the source of your joy and peace, or your children, you're dead. You're dead in the water. It's all over. No, no, no. You've got to find it in Jesus. You've got to find it in Jesus. Jesus has to be what you need. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He is the center of your joy, the source of your peace, and the center of your happiness. And whether your husband is good or bad on any particular day, or your wife is good or bad on any particular day, it doesn't matter, because it doesn't change your mood, because you're not walking in idolatry by exalting a man or exalting a woman and putting them in God's place. Well, my husband doesn't desire me physically anymore. So what? It doesn't mean that you have a problem. He may have a prostate problem. And he's scared. And he doesn't want to be a wimp. But it's too late now. You wimped him out. Why? Because we demand saviors from lost people, incomplete people, and people that have not yet attained to the perfections of Jesus' characteristics and virtues. It's a long journey. Praise the Lord. That's how all these young men and young women are not going to fornicate. They're not going to fornicate just because the preacher tells them, don't fornicate. When a beautiful woman is standing in front of them, they're going to go, hey, I'll repent after this. No, they have to love Jesus so much that they wouldn't even consider breaking his heart, crushing his will, destroying his plan. That's why they don't smoke the reefer anymore. That's why they don't take the drugs anymore. That's why they don't fornicate anymore, because they love Jesus. That's why your husband will stop yelling at you, and why your husband will stop being cold towards you, because once he loves Jesus, warmth, compassion, and mercy, unconditional, will start flowing out of him, and he will love you and hug you and hold you and take care of you and be there for you, and you will have the greatest husband in the world, and he won't care whether you give it back to him or not, because he's not doing it out of a selfish motive to manipulate something and get something from you, because it's pure love that comes from pure love. Am I making any sense? Praise God. Tell two or three of you, he's making sense. So I'm lowering it to $30. Go ahead and say, I'm lowering it to 30. Just give me 30. You see, people who blame other people for their bad attitudes don't like this kind of message, because man has to take responsibility for his own actions. No one will stand before God with the people they blame. They'll stand alone, knowing the difference between right and wrong. But Christianity is no fun at all if you don't love the Savior. Because then all Christianity is saying no all day, every day, to everything you want to say yes to. And how long can somebody last saying no to everything they want to say yes to? They can't last, and certainly no fun at all. No, you want to get high, and God doesn't want you to get high, but you don't have anything else. This is it for me. This is how I relax. But you don't know how to find the presence of God where it relaxes your body and even your insides and takes the anxieties of and takes the fear. Well, you don't know how to do that. Nobody's taught you. You actually don't know how to do that. But for every bad pleasure, there's a divine pleasure. And the divine pleasure is much sweeter than the bad pleasure. There's something sweeter than reefers. There's something sweeter than heroin. There's something sweeter than sex. There's something sweeter than pornography. There's something sweeter than whatever it is that you like to get from Satan that is one of his candies. And it's all in loving Jesus. So, of course, we're all going to say we love Jesus. Well, I listed all the ways that we justify that, but we're taking the test. Praise the Lord. How do you know you love something? Here's another way. Sacrifice is a privilege, not an inconvenience. If my grandson was standing there, my 3-year-old grandson was standing there, and a lion came through that door, most of you, maybe not all, but most of you would run to get away from that lion, because obviously you don't want to get eaten. You don't want to be the sushi of the day. But I, who love my little grandson, would jump in front of my grandson without hesitation, as many of you would for yours, and run at the lion and stick your head in its mouth while your little grandson escaped. Because sacrifice is a privilege, not an inconvenience, when you love somebody. When you don't love them, then you tell them to go jump in the lake and other things like that. Now you clean up your own mess. No, you do that. No, you do that. No, I'm not going to do that. And you end up, whoever controls the clicker, the TV clicker, runs the house. That's the alpha. So two alphas in a house, that means they're going to get two TVs. She watches hers, and he watches his, and the children watch theirs if you have alpha children. And there's no love in any of it. It's just basic selfishness rooted in an emptiness of the soul that people are trying to fill with TV programs. Do you know there are now many 80-year-olds that are addicted to pornography? I did a purity conference and had 80-year-olds, 70-year-olds, 60-year-olds all lined up because they'd never done anything bad till they got a clicker with all the channels and then being at home and just going through, there it is. And they were goners. Standing at that age in shame and guilt. Praise the Lord. You know, if you love Jesus, you won't watch pornography. It won't be a battle. It won't be hard. Nobody will even have to tell you. Nobody has to tell a person that loves Jesus to tithe. The only people you have to tell to tithe are the people who don't want to tithe. They don't want to tithe, so let's intellectually convince them that they're going to burn in hell and the judgment of God is coming on them and God will kill everybody in their family and burn the house down by the end of the week. God doesn't want you to tithe because he needs your money. He wants you to tithe so you won't need your money. And then he can give you lots of money to give away. He's not going to give any of you a dollar who are greedy and selfish and do not have a generous spirit. You got to make your own. But if you want God to give you money, then you got to be willing to give it all away and have an attitude that I don't own any of it. Like these people do. Praise the Lord. And many of you do. Go ahead and hug somebody and say, do you have 20/20 vision? Give them a big hug and say, is that your original hair color? Praise God. Loving Jesus. Let's all say it. I want to love Jesus with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength, and with all my being. Have you ever loved anything, ladies and gentlemen? How many have ever loved anything? And when you love whatever that thing was, did it make you sad or did it make you smile and laugh? Sure, I lost two of my dogs this last year. Dogs that I had a long time. Mocha, a border collie, I had her for 13 years. I came home one day and I couldn't find her. And the first feeling I had is, oh, Lord, don't let her be dead. I didn't tell her I loved her enough. I was gone too much. Then I found her and she was alive and I was, oh. And then I just grabbed her and hugged her and hugged her and kept her near me all the time. Anytime I come home, and then about a month later, we decided, you know, she's in pain and we got to put her down. And all we did was weep for a dog. Because obviously dogs know how to love people. She never rejected me. She never spit on me. She never gave me the cold shoulder when I'd yell at her or hit her with a newspaper or something. And, you know, when I was training her, she never did any of that. She just, if I smelled bad, she just jumped on me anyway. If I had mud, she jumped in the mud anyway. How can you not love a creature like that? A dog is not like a cat. Not that there's anything wrong with cats, because to me, cats are one of the greatest hunters on the face of the earth. And if you want somebody to hunt for you, you know. But let me ask you this question. If you're drowning in the lake and you call your cat, what will your cat do? I'm just asking. And you can call the cat anything you want, Fluffy, any tender name you want. The cat's out of there. You're dead, and the cat is gone looking for a new master right at that moment. They're dead. I need a feeder somewhere. I need somebody to feed me. But if you call your dog, that dog's coming in. He most likely will save your life if you were smart enough to train them how to do it. Otherwise, they'll just drown with you. Praise the Lord. Think about it. When you love something, life is beautiful. When you love your children, life is beautiful. When you have a child, life is beautiful. It's not that till they get to be teenagers and you haven't raised them right that you're like, oh my gosh, how can I give this child back? But if you raise them right, the first thing you teach them as little children is how to tithe to you. Yeah, you say, here, go tithe to the church, and here's an extra 10% to give to me. Then when they grow up, they give you money, like my children do. One of my children took us out, said, oh, we went, gave us an envelope, $7,000. Another child took us out, gave us an envelope, $50,000. Turn to somebody and say, I'm beginning that practice right now. I'm telling you right now, that is a good practice. I believe that's the will of God. I've got seven children. Seven divided by 100,000 a year, that's 700,000. I believe I'm going to raise my children right. Exactly. Or you can be their welfare system and they borrow from you their whole lives and never grow up. But if you love something, you'll take care of it. You'll make sure you're close to Jesus if you love him. You won't take him for granted. You'll learn. You'll find out. If you love something, you always want to be with it. Or is this not true? My wife told me the other day, what are you doing? I said, what do you mean? She said, you're stalking me. I'm stalking you? Yes. I go to the bedroom, you're in there. I go to the bathroom, you're in there. I go to the kitchen, you're in there. You're stalking me. I said, I don't know. I just don't want to be away from you at all, ever. And she goes, what's happened to you? I said, I don't know. I wasn't like that before. But now I'm like obsessed. It's weird. I don't know either. I have no idea why I'm saying all this. But this is the way it is. You're obsessed. You're like, I just want to be with you. I want you with me. Come on. Come on. Let's go somewhere. Let's do it. Everything around the clock. Because when you love something, you never want to be away from it. And it's the same way with Jesus. When you love something, you never want to be away from it. You don't hurt the things you love. You don't abandon the things you love. You don't neglect the things of love you love. How much Bible time have you had? How much quality time with God have you had? Well, by the statistics, not very much, since most of us don't know how to have a relationship with an invisible person. I'll show you that tonight. Praise the Lord. There's many more things, but I've run out of time. And I just want everybody to remember that however good your Christian walk is today, it's going to be better by tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Tell two or three people it's going to be better by tomorrow. You see, when you love Jesus, you can love people that are very ugly and very unlovely and very unkind. When you love Jesus, you will love yourself and not hurt yourself by making bad choices and making yourself spiritually poor by never educating yourself about this wondrous thing called Christianity. And if you're single, you won't need a man or a woman in your life. Jesus will be enough. And if Jesus is not enough, then you're going to get in a lot of trouble. Because the black hole in your soul demands to be fed. If Jesus doesn't fill it, you're going to find it in a drug. You're going to find it in some other kinky thing some way, because it's the human way. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means it's the nature of your nature. Praise the Lord. Say this out loud. I need Jesus more than I ever have in my life. So do your children, for those of you that are parents. They need parents that love Jesus. Praise the Lord. It's very difficult for a child to walk away from God when they have been truly loved in the right way. Now, having said that, there are children who are perfectly loved, truly loved, and raised right that still walk away. But it's always for a season. It's never permanent. Because the love is too powerful, the seeds are too powerful, the reality of Jesus, the presence of God is too powerful, and sooner or later, if you train up a child in the way they should go, they shall not depart from it when they are old. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and give somebody a hug and say, wow, you look like you've lost weight. Praise the Lord. Tell that person, you look like you've lost about 10 pounds this morning. Fear, worry. So what am I saying to everybody this morning? I'm not saying you don't know Jesus. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying you're not going to heaven. I'm saying, is it possible by just some of the tests that you may not love Jesus the way that the Bible describes an intimate personal relationship? Could your love for God be all the other things I listed? Because those things, though they will take you all the way to heaven and they'll help you through life and all of those good things, you don't want to get rid of any of them. All those add to the stew of loving Jesus. But there's a lot that's left out, and it's the parts that really count. The tangibility of God in your life, to where he is more real than the person sitting next to you. This is the goal, that you be so in love with God that nothing Satan can offer you will even be a temptation. That nothing life can throw at you can break you to pieces. That nothing going on or that has ever happened to you is enough to empty your soul of the will to enjoy life and to love people. That no difficult person that enters your life will ever convert you to act like they do, to treat them the way they have treated you. To give you so much peace that you don't need Prozac. You don't need reefers. Now, if you're addicted to drugs, there's going to be a detox time, physically, unless God delivers you. And I've seen a lot of people just fall in love with Jesus and get delivered overnight and never go back to it. But for others, it may be a little bit of a journey of the loving Jesus will keep you as you're detoxing out. Don't give your heart to the false saviors, the crutches of this world. They all will break and they will all fail you. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for connecting with us today. I hope you were encouraged by this recording. I'm Greg Simon, pastor of Valley Fellowship. More resources and more information about our church are available at valleyfellowship.com. We invite you to come and join us for worship. See for yourself how exciting church can be as we glorify the Lord Jesus Christ together.